Gotta stop recording these at these late hours because it's just getting to be too late. Before we know it, we'll be doing the Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day at midnight, if I had it my way, because I am a night owl. I don't do mornings, and I've just been doing them after my run, after I get done with being tired from my run. It's happened all 4 days that we've done this week. And, need to stop doing that. But nonetheless, we are here. We are doing it. We are doing the Locked On Wolverines podcast. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And it is Friday, so I've already done an hour of radio with Jamie Morris. And I'm excited to bring some of that conversation here because there's more to talk about, as well as kind of what I discussed already on the end zone, and because there's a couple different deals there. We are going to spend segment one discussing the fact that Kirk Herbstreit said he'd be shocked if there was a college football season. Okay, getting depressed hearing that. I think we all are. I don't know that I would have a job if we don't have a college football season. But then a Pro Football Talk found an outlet that says, hey, you know what? We might have a college football season. It just might not be in the fall. It might be in the summer. Boom. We are going to discuss all of that. And where we are with that, my thoughts on all of it. That will probably carry into segment two to some degree. And then we're going to talk about Michigan's running back recruiting. Because guess what? One guy just committed to Ohio State. He was the guy that that Michigan had a lot of eggs in that basket. Committed to Ohio State, having never been to Columbus. Never been there. And then finally, if we have time, just a funny little thing that I just wrote about. Cassius Winston heaping praise on a former Wolverine. That can't go well in East Lansing. If we have time, we'll talk about it. I'll mention it a little bit at the end, regardless, as long as we have time. But let's talk about this Kirk Herbstreit thing first. And listen, I get it. I'm going to get slightly personal in here to the chagrin of probably, well, maybe not quite as personal as I should. Or I'm going to be less personal than I. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go as far as I could, which is what I should do. So we're going to do it that way. But I think that's the better option. But listen, this coronavirus situation, we don't know where it is. First, I'll just say that Kirk Herbstreit said he does not foresee a college football season happening. He thinks the coronavirus concerns, especially with the Dr. Fauci and others saying, hey, it might die out in summer months and come right back in the fall, like a seasonal flu type deal. For that reason, does not foresee it happening. I think that when you look at it right now, there's a lot we don't know. It's going to get worse before it gets better. I think it's going to look really bad once we get to the end of our stay-at-homes. For those of us in states, like, you know, I'm in Michigan. I know probably a lot of you are in Ohio who started your stay-at-home a little bit earlier. And it's probably going to get a lot worse. I know Ohio, their director of health, I don't remember what her actual title is, but Dr. Amy Acton says that Ohio won't peak until May. And that's kind of what I was told. My inside source, Inside Health, has said that that's probably about, you know, that it's going to be probably Michigan in 2 to 3 weeks, and then Ohio a week or two after that. So, with that said, once we get to the end of our first stay at home, we very well could get another. Doesn't help that, like I said yesterday on the podcast, that when I went for my run, I saw a group of students, not social distancing at all, having a full-fledged what have you outside of their apartment, or at least outside of an apartment, probably 15 maybe 20 people. The kind of thing that you see before a football game. That's what they were doing. We're not going to be able to have a football season if that type of stuff happens, because who knows if any of those people are infected, and if they are, they're going to get everyone else infected. And the cycle continues. So it is important that we stay home now to avoid Kirk Herbstreit's Nostradamus attempt. Because we have to try to nip this in the bud right this second. Because it is going to get worse. The worst part is going to be when it hits hospitals. That's what's happening in Detroit. Beaumont is through and through just in a bad spot. Oakland County, which has a lot of the Beaumont hospitals, bad spot. There's just a lot of really bad things when it comes to that. Once it gets to the hospitals, it's going to be out of control, and it is going to hit the hospitals. But the hope is that we get through this quarantine situation, and hopefully we see some modicum of progress. And then we probably are going to have another one, and then we see even more progress. We start to see that curve, the proverbial curve, start to flatten. Because, you know what, like, I'm sure a lot of you, know people who are in healthcare. I'm dating a nurse. And things are stressful right now. Really, really stressful. And it's going to get worse. This is, for a lot of people, this is the calm before the storm. Some people are already in the storm, and guess what? It's still the calm before the storm. So I get where Kirk Herbstreit is at, but I still say wait and see, because you know what? There's still 4 months before we get to September. We're technically, there's more than that. We're at the end of March? Season starts September, at least for Michigan, September 5th at Washington. You've got all of April, May, June, July, and August before we get to that point. I don't think that they're going to cancel college football super, super early. I think they're going to wait until the last possible moment. There's a good chance that, hey, they could testing, I think, is a huge deal. If we can get to the point, and I would imagine by then, testing will be a lot more prevalent than it is now. You get to that point, all right, we can test people. We can, you know, you can verify whether or not you had it. Could be a situation before it gets canceled where there's, you allow people, you know, just like they were going to do with the NCAA tournament and the Big Ten tournament, all that kind of stuff, only essential personnel. The teams, the media, you clear everybody in advance. You'd have to do it every week. But I think that if that's a push comes to shove situation, that they'll do that. Because, you know, you have a lot of reasons why. The revenues from TV, that's where most of the money comes in. Yeah, it would be really weird, and Michigan would lose a lot of revenue by having games at the Big House without having people there. But at the same time, you don't have the overhead of a lot of the employees that would be there as well. There's just a lot of different things that can happen. And there's still quite a lot of time before those types of decisions are made. These are the types of things they need to be thinking of now, and that's fine. But I don't think that we are anywhere close to being able to say, hey, it's done. Now, there's certainly a good chance. We might have to wait until a vaccine comes out, which 12 to 18 months. There's certainly a chance. But given how much revenue and how much America, I think, would need that escape by that point, I think that there will be some kind of something figured out. But we'll see. Who knows? Lots of time to figure that out. Let's talk about the other option here momentarily. Like I said, that's going into segment two, so we'll talk about the other stuff in segment three. All right, so Pro Football Talk reports that they report about a report that Michael Smith of Sports Business Journal, he reported that there is a scenario that college football this year, instead of happening in September, could be a July, August, and September situation, and that it could be a slightly shortened season. It says the decision to accelerate the season would be driven by concerns that the American coronavirus epidemic could subside in the warmer months and return in the fall. An abbreviated college football season played in the summer months could be the best and only way to get a college football season accomplished. The idea remains in its very early stages, and it would hinge on a variety of factors, from whether campuses would be able to staff the games, to whether TV partners would embrace the idea, to whether fans would show up in sweltering heat, to whether fans would be able to attend the games at all. It's something that he says will be discussed by the powers that be, and it might be the only way to play games. I think that is incredibly interesting. Especially if that is true, that it essentially dies off in the summer. But if it does die off in the summer, I wonder how much they're just going to do a wait and see until fall and say, all right, let's just do it in the fall. They won't have a lot of time to do that, obviously, if you're deciding to do it earlier rather than later. But I think that's really interesting. I like the idea of not being cold. I don't like the idea of being super hot during a game. I like the idea of not being cold, though, because that's the part that I hate. You imagine middle of September, Michigan's playing Ohio State. I mean, that would be kind of cool. It'd be different if you just know it's a 1-year deal, hopefully. But that's an option. That's one of those things that's out there. That's just got put out there this evening as something that certainly could happen. I don't know how they would treat the playoff. I don't know if that means when they say truncated and whatever, if that means the playoff would be the majority of September or what would happen with bowl season, if it would happen at all. I don't know. But to me, I think that that's a really interesting idea. It's an idea that should be explored well before the decision to cancel. Because you've got a lot of things, a lot of money that goes into these things, a lot of people's livelihoods that go into these things. Like I've said, this is my livelihood. I don't know how, you know, a lot of us would get through that are in this industry would be able to get through a year without a football season. Because right now we're spending a lot of time saying, all right, what's going to happen in 2020? Now, here's the thing, though. No spring ball for a lot of people. That would completely eliminate summer conditioning, and essentially, you'd go right into fall camp. It would be a different look to football. It's already going to be a different look to football, no matter what now, because a lot of these schools didn't, like Michigan, didn't have spring football at all. They're not going to have spring football at all. You weren't able to start anything until May 4th. The Big Ten canceled all organized team activities until May 4th. There's just a lot of stuff that goes into it. So it's going to be really interesting to see because, again, the TV revenue is a big deal. You know, Michigan would probably survive pretty easily, not having a season. Ohio State, Penn State. A lot of lesser schools might not. Michigan's in the black, but a lot of schools aren't. So, you got to find a way to not let everything, and you know, college football and football in general is a big business. It is a big industry that affects a lot of different walks. Obviously, I'm on the journalism end. You got the people who play. You got the front office people. You got the vendors. You've got TV, that end of media. You've got restaurants and all of those types of things. A lot of people count on money coming from this. So I would imagine, because it is one of those things that's like movies. when you make a movie, there's a lot of different people that are hired. Maybe not quite to the extent in some degree, but actually probably just as much, just not necessarily as spread out as movies. You know, movies, just same kind of deal. Hotel industries rely a lot on football. You know, there's different avenues that you wouldn't think of necessarily. Catering. There's just a lot of different places that end up getting business as a result of it. So I will be really curious to see how this unfolds. I still say it's a wait and see scenario. Definitely, I don't have my jump to conclusions mat out. I think we've got to wait a little while. Let's see where we're at April 13th when the stay at home order is up. Is it renewed? How long is it renewed for? Where are we at in a couple weeks? That's going to tell us everything we need to know, especially if the weather continues to be warmer. All right. That's all I got on that, but I just think that's really an interesting idea. Let's discuss those other two topics that I talked about in the bottom half here. All right, so two things that we're going to get to. One will just essentially be a happy trails, but. So, Michigan, as I've told you on this program, just wasn't quite doing it for Donovan Edwards. Ohio State seemed like they were really doing it, really taking the lead. What's happened since then? Ohio State got one top 100 running back, and then they went and got the guy tonight in Travion Henderson, the five-star, the top-rated running back. He's a guy that I was told by a third-party source, someone that I trust immensely, but this isn't one of those things where I can't state it with the level of confidence that I would if it was direct from a source. But someone that, if he told you, you'd believe it. Let me just put it that way. And Michigan was all in on Travion Henderson. Lately, we've been seeing reports, and I haven't connected with Ron Bellamy, but we've been seeing stuff from every other outlet that Michigan has really ramped up their pursuit of Donovan Edwards. Well, what's changed? Well, the feeling that, and I had heard from a friend in the industry, that Travion Henderson was committing to Ohio State this week. But he's never even been to Ohio State. That's where Ohio State is right now. They're getting guys who've never been to campus committing. What the what? I'm not insinuating any nefarious what have you. But, I mean, what the what? Michigan had been after this guy for a while. I had a note to talk to him. Let's see. I can tell you exactly, but I had a note here. Actually, it did not say it was a different player. This is going to say talk to him in late March. But, I mean, regardless, this was a guy that Michigan really, really wanted and ended up at Ohio State. You know what, though? I think that that's fine. No, you don't want Ohio State to get better talent. But I think it's just as pertinent to get someone who's, I don't know what the difference is between, I don't know where Henderson is, 17 or something like that. I have it pulled up, actually. 17 in the composite, 11 in the national. I don't know how much different it is between getting the 17th rated guy in the country and getting the, 38th guy in the country. Like, you're basically splitting the difference there. If you get the number 38 guy and he's an in-state guy, I think that's more important than getting the five-star guy. Because you want to protect the talent in your state. You just have to. Now, Ohio State is off to an insane tear at the moment, which doesn't help anything for Michigan. Because you look at what Ohio State has, they've got a 5-star defensive end. Now they've got a 5-star running back. They've got a 5-star quarterback. They've got a 4-star offensive guard. So on and so forth. Michigan's class can still be incredible, is the good news. They are in it for a lot of these top guys. Maybe not as many 5-stars. I don't know that how many 5-stars are left that are really... I'd have to look here. According to the composite, that is. I mean, they've already got J.J. McCarthy. They're going after Nolan Rucci, the Pennsylvania offensive tackle. I don't know how confident I feel about that. Damon Payne, defensive tackle from Belleville. It doesn't really feel like it's going amazing, but who knows? But then they're in it for so many other guys. Edwards, J.C. Latham, who's got a crystal ball to Ohio State, 100%. Offensive tackle at IMG Academy. He's been on campus. Dante Thornton, the Maryland wide receiver. Rocco Spindler, the Clarkston guard, can play on both sides of the ball. There's a bunch of guys that Michigan is in for in the top 100. Quentin Somerville, defensive end from Arizona. Garrett Dellinger, also from Clarkston. He's got an LSU crystal ball. I still feel like it's going to be Notre Dame. That's just me from an old conversation that I had. But still, Michigan is in it for a lot of guys. Thomas Fedone, who 24/7 Sports has almost as a 5-star, but not on the composite. A lot of guys that Michigan is in for, but you got to protect home turf. That's the most important thing. All right, last thing. I kind of laughed at this one. Michigan basketball tweeted out that you can watch, and it's already on right now, but you could watch a replay of the 2013 Sweet 16 game where Michigan, under Trey Burke, took down Kansas in stunning comeback fashion. I was laid up from having surgery, and I was stuck on my couch, and just remember watching that and just being absolutely blown away, as I'm sure most all of you were. The pictures that they included were of the shot being taken and the aftermath of what sent Michigan to overtime against a Kansas team that dominated pretty much that entire game until the last minute. Well, who retweeted it and said, y'all going to be mad at me about this, but this guy could ball. It's not exactly what he said, but essentially. Cassius Winston from Michigan State, rivalry be damned. How cool is that? That's just hilarious to me, because Michigan and Michigan State, I think that they get along less than Michigan and Ohio State. It's a little bit more respectful in basketball, but still, they hate Michigan way more than Michigan hates them, which makes it even more amazing that the most recent star at Michigan State is giving some love to a Michigan guy. I mean, you basically can't write this stuff. I hate that idiom, but that's not what I would have anticipated. There's no way I would have thought that I'd be hanging around on Twitter just to see that Cassius Winston has got some good stuff to say about a former Wolverine. That's all I got. I don't have anything more interesting to say. Thanks for listening to Locked On Wolverines. Going to try to have a Saturday episode tomorrow. We'll see if that coalesces. Might just need the day, but I think we're going to try to have one. If you have ideas for things to talk about, definitely DM them to me on Twitter. And remember to tell your smart device to play Locked On Draft Dudes. Lots of draft talk. I got some stuff up on Wolverine's Wire about NFL.com. four-round draft, three Wolverines going in that. So you're going to want to hear what those Lockdown Draft dudes got to say. Enjoy your weekend. Peace.